We're going to turn this morning in the scriptures for a Bible reading to the second epistle of John and to the verse number 1 of this epistle. We're near the end of the New Testament to the second epistle of John and beginning our reading at the verse 1 of the chapter. Second epistle of John and commencing to read at the verse number 1. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in the truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, have not God, he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he of both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. And amen. We'll end our reading there at the verse 13. And we know that God will add his own blessing to the public reading of his own precious and infallible word. And the verse of scripture that I'd like us to look at today and to consider is the words that we find in verse 8 of this second epistle. We'll just read that verse again. It says, look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. With God's word open before us, let us unite together in a brief word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank thee, Lord, for a sense, Lord, of thy presence with us already in our gathering this morning. And we just pray, Lord, that thou will continue to bless us and to abide with us, that we might be very conscious, each and every one, that thou art here and not to bless. We pray for the outpouring of thy Spirit upon each and upon every heart, that thou, Lord, would move in this meeting today from seat to seat and from heart to heart, we pray. And Lord, bless us as we would meditate, Lord, upon thy word today. We pray, O God, that the very thoughts of our heart and the words, Lord, of our lips would be acceptable, O God, in thy sight. O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Help us, Lord, to worship thee today in spirit and in truth. Help us, Lord, to worship thee today in the beauty of holiness. And Lord, we do pray that through thy word today, that thou wilt bring light and guidance and encouragement, Lord, to each and to every heart, Lord, as thou wouldst see the need. We thank, O God, of how thou didst break the bread and did feed that great multitude of 5,000 many years ago. And Lord, we pray that indeed today that thou wilt break the bread of life to each and every heart, to both preacher and to hearer alike. And that thou, Lord, wilt bless us as thou would see our need today. To this end, O God, pour out thy Spirit upon preacher and upon hearer alike. We thank thee for the great promise of your word, when thou said that if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, then how much more Shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask? Lord, we pray today that thou wilt answer prayer, for we ask it for Jesus' sake and for thy glory. Amen. Amen. Now, throughout the Bible and throughout the Scriptures, we find the Lord on many occasions having many things to say to women in the Scriptures. Yes, we see how the Lord would say many things to the women in the Bible, commands for them to abide by, services for them to engage in the things of God and in the cause of Christ. If we think of the Gospel of John in the chapter number 4, there you read of the Lord Jesus Christ meeting with a woman known as the woman of Samaria. We're not told her exact name. She's just known as the woman of Samaria. The Lord meets with her, and as a result of him meeting with that woman that day, that woman is saved, and she becomes a tremendous trophy of grace and a great witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord was to use that woman and her witness for his glory and for the extension of his kingdom. Then we find also the Lord using another woman in Scripture called Mary. And he used her to convey the great news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. My, he gave her the message to go and to tell the disciples that he was risen again from the grave. Later on also in the New Testament, we find another woman, this time by the name of Priscilla. And she too is commended for her zeal, her zealous faith for the things of God and for the cause of Christ. Yes, throughout the Bible, throughout the Scriptures, we find much to encourage women in the ways of the Lord and in the work of God and in the cause of Christ. And in the passage of Scripture that we've read from this morning, we find another example of this very matter. For here we have John the Apostle writing to a certain lady, and she was a believer in the faith in the early New Testament church to which John was writing. And as he writes to this woman, we see that he writes to her and to her children, and he sends his good wishes to her. He sends his greetings to her. Look at verse 3 of the epistle. Notice what it says. He says, "Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love." He brings his greetings to her. Also, if you look at verse 4, the very next verse in the epistle, you see there how he commends the fact that her and her children are walking in the truth of God, walking in the ways of God. He says in verse 4, "I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children a walking in the truth." Here's a woman, and her family is walking in the things of God, her Savior. Then if you go down to verses 5 and 6 of the same epistle, you'll see how he exhorts this woman and her family to be steadfast. Steadfast and love to others, God's people, and to others that they would meet with, and to be steadfast also in their obedience to the word of God and the command of God. Notice what he says in verses 5 and 6. He says, "And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it." And what an exhortation he gives to that lady there and to her family. Then if you go on to verse 7, the very next verse, you'll see also how he's got a warning for this woman. The warning is against deceivers of false religions and false religious practices. Notice what he says to her. He says, "For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." Dear people, it's against this background what he has said already to this woman. We're not told her name. She's just known as the elect lady. It's against this background that John then goes on to give this tremendous summons, this tremendous word of exhortation to this lady in the words of our text this morning in verse number 8. When he says to her, he says, "Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." By the summons, the exhortation that he gives here to this woman was an exhortation, exhorting her not to lose out with God, not to lose out in the blessing of God upon her life, upon her testimony, and upon the work of God and the cause of Christ that she was involved in. Oh yes, he was telling her here, the more that deception abounded around her, the more careful she was to be in her Christian walk, in her Christian witness for the Lord, so she should not lose out with God and not lose the blessing of God in her heart and soul, in her ministry and in her life. You know, dear people, this morning, just as this inspired exhortation was given to this elect lady and to her family and to her children many years ago, so the same summons, the same exhortation is given to you and I from the Lord, to you and I who are believers in Christ this morning. Yes, through these words of the Apostle John, yes, the Lord would say to you and I, to each and every one of us that are saved in this gathering, he would say, "Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." Oh, God's people, in our witness for Christ as believers in the Lord, it's the Lord's desire, it's the Lord's will here, as it were, that we don't lose out with God, that we don't lose our ground for God, that we don't lose out in the blessing of God in our individual lives and in the work of God that the Lord would give us and that the Lord has called us into. Oh, he doesn't want, as it were, us to go back and to lose the ground that we already have attained. Oh, he doesn't, as it were, want us to lose out in the blessings that God has already given and in the heritage that he has bestowed upon us. Oh, dear people of God, this is a must. If you and I are to go on with God and the work of God is to progress and to go on and to be blessed in the days that lie ahead. And so that reason I want us just to consider this exhortation before us this morning. And there are three things I want to leave with you very simply and very plainly from this verse. Notice first of all how John here speaks to us of a danger to be avoided. Notice his words in this text. He says that we lose not those things which we have wrought. These words were a warning. A warning to this woman and to her children and her family not to lose out in the bounty and the blessing of God that they'd already received and known in their Christian life and in their Christian ministry. And you know, dear people, such words are an alarm, yes, a warning to every Christian, to every child of God, against spiritual loss, against spiritual decay, against spiritual ruin in their life as a child of God. You think this morning of the church at Philadelphia. She was warned against spiritual loss in her day and generation. For the Lord said to the church at Philadelphia in Revelation chapter 3 in the verse 11. He said, "Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." As a church, they were been warned against losing the blessing of God upon their testimony and upon their witness. Oh, people of God, this is something that you and I need to be aware of and be warned about from the Word of God as well. Yes, through spiritual neglect, my true sin or true disobedience to the Lord and His Word, we can lose the blessing of God upon our individual lives and upon the work of God and cause of Christ that we may be involved in. You think of the farmer this morning who goes out in the springtime to put in his field of potatoes, his seed potatoes. You know, that farmer may have the best of machinery going, in the day in which he labors. He may have the very best of seed potatoes to put into the ground. He may have the very best of land, the most fertile of land that anyone can have in the community. He may have the best of weather when he puts in those potatoes in the springtime. When he puts in his crop. You know, dear people, once that crop is in, if he doesn't keep down the weeds, spray against the weeds and spray against blight, if through neglect or if through sloth he does nothing to attend that crop, what will happen? The whole harvest, the whole crop will be lost. It will be forfeited. It will be gone. And you know, in that farmer's neglect, you know there's a lesson there for you and I as believers. And the lesson is this: yes, we may start well as individual Christians on the road to heaven and on the road to glory. But my, if we sin against the Lord by sins of omission, failing to do that which we should do, or by sins of commission, doing that which we should not do, then we'll lose out on the blessing of God upon our life and upon our witness. Oh, dear people, this is a fearful thing. This is a danger to be avoided. It says here, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought. My, none of us have a monopoly on the blessing of God. You think of the church of Galatia, a church that began well for God. Then false doctrine crept into that church, and people really come into that church with the false doctrine that people could be justified by the works of the law. And it had a most detrimental effect upon the testimony, the witness, and the life of that church. My, such was the folly of that church that Paul had to rebuke them. In Galatians 3, in the verse 1, he says, O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth. And Paul went on in that letter to remind them that it is only by faith in Christ that a person is justified. He said, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Maybe I'm speaking to somebody in the meeting this morning. Maybe you're in the meeting today and you're not saved. You don't know the Lord as your Savior. But maybe you have this thought in your heart or in your mind that somehow, some way you can be accepted with God or before God by yourself, by your own life, by your own actions, your own deeds, or your own self-righteousness. Oh, dear friend, our prayer is that you would realize this morning that there is no acceptance with God on the ground of our own works or our own self-righteousness. Does not the Bible say that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags? Does not the Bible say, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast? Did not Jesus Christ himself say when he was here on earth, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. It's through faith alone, in Christ alone, that you can be saved, have your sins forgiven, be sure of heaven, and be right with God. One saved man, young woman, young person in the meeting today, depend on nothing else but on Christ alone for your salvation. That's how you're saved. The Bible says salvation is of the Lord. The Bible says that salvation belongeth unto the Lord. He's the one you need to trust in. Trust in His finished work alone. Upon the cross of Calvary for your salvation. And trust in no other. Turn with me in your Bible, please, back to Isaiah chapter 45. Here you have the Lord speaking. In verses 21 and 22 through the words of the prophet Isaiah. And look at what he says. He says, tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who have declared this from ancient time? Who have told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me. Be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. If you're in the meeting this morning and you're not saved, Friend, this is God's message to your heart today. He says, look unto me and be ye saved. Oh, that you would get your eyes upon Christ today. That you would behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And oh, that you would put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ and in none other for your salvation. Yes, that was the message that Paul went on to reassert in the church at Galatia. That church where there had been a departure and those had come in and said that salvation was by works and not by faith. He went on to reassert that great truth. That salvation is by faith alone and through Christ alone. But you know, people of God, as we would think further upon this matter of losing the blessing of God, let us also not forget about Samson in the Bible. Samson was a great man of God, man of great power. Yet we read in the Scriptures how he broke his vow as a Nazarite and he lost out with God. The Bible says he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. He lost out the ground he had been given in the past. Again, think of the church at Corinth. A church that lost out with God through immorality. Immorality came into that church. Again, people think this morning of Demas, a character that we read of in the New Testament. A man who once served the Lord with the Apostle Paul, but he allowed the world to creep into his life and to the things that concerned him. And his work for God and with God's servant, the Apostle Paul, ceased. For as Paul wrote to Timothy, he wrote sadly of Demas. He said this, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed. Oh, dear people of God, is there not a warning here for you and I this morning, saved by the grace of God? It is this, that if we disobey the Lord, if we go into His Word bypass meadow, turn away from His Word and go after the things of men, after the things of this world, we'll find ourselves losing the blessing of God upon our life, upon our testimony, and upon all that we would seek to do for God and for Christ. Yes, we see here how John warned this woman of a danger to be avoided. May it be a warning to each and every one of our hearts today who are saved. But notice secondly in this verse how John goes on to speak of an object to be attained. An object to be attained. Notice in this verse how he goes on to speak at the very end of the verse. He says, but that we receive a full reward. Now here, John was telling this lady that if she was faithful to God, if she maintained, as it were, her spiritual ground for God and held on to the blessing of God that she had already known, then she would receive a full reward from the Lord in heaven and the Lord in glory. You know, it's the same for every Christian. It's the same for every blood-bought child of God. God has a reward for His people in heaven. A reward for His people in glory. And by the fullness, the measure of that reward, it corresponds to the faithfulness of the believer, of the child of God here on earth. You remember the message of the Lord to the church of Smyrna. He says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Now, the Bible doesn't teach merit or divine favor through works, but it does teach that faithful service on earth by the Christian will be rewarded in heaven. And it's all as a result of God's sovereign grace. And the proportion of our reward will depend on how faithful we've been to the Lord and to His Word here on earth. In this scene of time. You remember the words of Daniel chapter 12. In the verse number 3 it says there, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Oh, if we are faithful to the Lord on earth, on witnessing for Christ and pointing others to the Lord, our Savior. It says we'll shine as the stars. That speaks of the believer's reward on earth. Believers' reward in heaven for faithful service on earth for the Lord. Turn with me back, please, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, Look at verses 41 to 42 as Jesus here speaks to his people. He says in Matthew chapter 10, verses 41 to 42, he says, "He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." Here Christ was telling the disciples that whatever respect or whatever kindness they'd show unto his name or to his cause and to his kingdom, he wouldn't forget about it. In other words, their reward would be in heaven. Their reward would be in glory. Again, you think of what the Lord said to the disciples in Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, in the verse 22. He says, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets." And may these words teach you and I who are saved that when we willingly bear reproach for the Savior's name, for the Savior's sake, for the sake of Jesus Christ, there is a reward in heaven, there is a reward in glory. Think also, dear people, of the words of the Apostle Paul as he wrote to young Timothy. Paul was nearing the end of his journey. And he said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." My, because of his faithfulness to the Lord, to the word of the Lord, to the cause of Christ in his day and generation, Paul was looking forward to a crown of glory. He was looking forward to an abundant entrance into heaven, to his reward on high. Oh, brethren and sisters in Christ, in light of such a full reward, then our goal, our aim, as God's people in our service for God and our walk with God and in our testimony for God, that aim should always be, as it were, the highest. We should aim for the highest, as it were, in serving the Lord. We should aim for the best and being bright for the Lord and seeking to witness for Him. You remember the words of the Lord to His servant Abraham? He said to Abraham, "I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect." There he was saying to Abram, telling him to be at his best, as it were, for the Lord. Oh, in light of that reward, the Lord, yes, would say to you and I this morning through his word. He says, "My beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." It's no vain thing to serve Christ. It's no empty thing to live for Christ, child of God. The world would mock you. The world would try to hold you back and say, "Come with me, run after the world, run after the ways of the world." Child of God, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Oh, surely when we think of such a full reward, surely this should encourage us all the more through God's grace, through the grace of God, through His strength and power, to live day by day for the Lord's honor. To live day by day for the Lord's glory. And to seek, as it were, to be at our best for the Lord. And to go the second mile for the Lord Jesus Christ. And for His cause. And for His kingdom. You know, it was Thomas Brooks, one of the Puritans, who said that Christians that would hold on in the service of the Lord must look more upon the crown than upon the cross. And you know, dear people, that's true. You think of the athlete running in the race that wants to win. His eye is upon the prize. His eye is upon the winning line. And that's how it must be with ourselves in our spiritual race to heaven as we go on with God. Our eyes must be upon the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Is that not what Paul said? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul's eye was upon the Lord. Paul's eye was upon his heavenly reward, the crown of glory. His eye was upon that reward. But notice finally, just from our text this morning, how John speaks of a means to be employed. He spoke of an object to be attained. He spoke of a warning to be avoided. But he speaks also of a means to be employed. Notice how he begins this verse 8. He says, look to yourselves. Look to yourselves. The word look there means to take heed. It means to watch. It means to be sober, to be aware, to be alert, to be on your guard. Now, this is what John was saying to this woman and her family. He was telling her to watch out, lest you be led away from the Lord and the things of God, even by certain deceivers in her own day. He warns her about such in verse 7 when he says that such are of the spirit of Antichrist. Notice what he says to her. He says, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is in the come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an Antichrist. Oh, he warned her to be alert, to be on the guard, to be watching out. Believer in Christ, the same applies to you and I who are saved by the grace of God as well. We need to look to ourselves. Child of God, the Lord says, look to yourself. Be on your guard. My, we need to watch, lest we be led astray from the Lord and from the things of God and the cause of Christ and lose out on the blessing of God upon our individual life and everything else that concerns us. How can we look to ourselves? Well, we can look to ourselves by guarding against error in our religious faith and practice. That's how we can look to ourselves. You think of what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 8 and the verse 20. He says there, to the law and to the testimony, that if they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. There Isaiah warns that which is contrary to the word of God has no light in it. It's not of God. Dear people, if you and I encounter religious belief or practice that is contrary to the clear teaching of the Scriptures, then we can judge that it is wrong, that it is of darkness, and the Bible makes it clear that we're to have nothing to do with it whatsoever. Look at what John goes on to say in verses 10 and 11 of the same epistle. He says, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. We can guard against error. That's how we can look to ourselves and guard against that which is contrary to his word. We can also look to ourselves by seeking to know more of God's truth in our own hearts and lives as the people of God. Remember the counsel of Peter to God's people? He said, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now the hymn writer said, more about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to all or show. Tell me, child of God, is that your desire today? To know more of the Lord, to know more of Christ, to know more of your Savior. By the way that we can know more of Christ and his truth is by reading his word, by searching the Scriptures. Remember what Jesus said? He said, search the Scriptures. They are they which testify of me. Child of God, when did you last read the Bible for yourself? It's good to come to church. It's good to bring the Bible with us to church. But tell me, child of God, do you feed your soul daily, day by day, week by week, upon the Word of God? Is there a time in your own private life for the reading of the Word of God that you might learn more of Jesus Christ? We can also look to ourselves by maintaining our Christian walk and testimony. By obeying the Lord, we can maintain that walk and testimony. The Bible says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Child of God, when the Lord gives you a command, obey that command. Now we can maintain our walk and testimony by abstaining from evil. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 22, it says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Shun it like the plague. And now we can maintain our walk and our testimony by being diligent in the place of prayer and at the throne of grace. Turn in your Bible, please, back to Isaiah chapter 40. And the verse number 31. Notice what is said there. That tremendous verse. What an encouragement to pray. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Child of God, I encourage you to take time daily to meet with the Lord your Savior. At the throne of grace, at the place of prayer. This is an age of busyness, an age when many of God's people get caught up in the busyness of the world. And what inevitably happens is this, that the believer's communion with God is squeezed out. There's no longer the same time given to the Word of God in the believer's life, no longer the same time given to prayer in the believer's life. And what happens? That Christian loses out in their walk and in their testimony with God. For did not Jesus say that men ought always to pray and not to faint? Child of God, there's nothing more important in your Christian life than this. You taking time daily to commune with the Lord around His Word and around the throne of grace and prayer. That's how we maintain our Christian walk and testimony. You know, we can also, as God's people, look to ourselves by, as it were, being faithful to the means of grace. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. This is an age of neglect in the house of God. Many times God's house is empty. God's people stay away from the house of God. Stay away from the means of grace. Oh, dear people, where His Word is faithfully preached and proclaimed, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We can also look to ourselves by just trusting in the Lord, looking to the Lord to keep us from error and to keep us from a pathway that is wrong. Every one of us are prone to go astray in our own strength. We're prone to err, as the hymn writer says, prone to wander, prone to leave the God I love. You remember what the Lord taught His disciples in prayer? Taught them to pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. How we need to pray day by day that the Lord would keep us from error. Keep us from one step that would take us away from God and God's blessing. Oh, the Lord, dear child of God, is able to keep you. The Bible says in Jude 24, unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Yes, we can look to ourselves by depending upon the Lord day by day to keep us from taking that step away from God, His Word, and His will. Oh, He can keep us secure. He can keep us safe. Dear people of God, if we're to look to ourselves, we need to keep our eye upon Jesus Christ. Turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 12. Look at how Paul begins this chapter. He's just dealt with men and women of the faith who had done great things for the Lord, who had run the race well for Christ. And look at how he begins Hebrews 12 verses 1 and 2. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Oh, dear people, if we're to look to ourselves, if we're to be faithful to the Lord, if we're to obtain an abundant entrance into glory, then we must ever be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. May it be so in all our lives, and we too shall have that full reward, that abundant entrance into glory. My, our text says to our hearts today, it says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. May those words be so in each and every one of our lives, in your life and in my life, for the glory of God, for the glory of our Savior. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask Thee, Lord, today to take Thy word. Take, Lord, Thine own truth, Lord. That, O God, which has been of Thee, and write it and plant it indelibly, Lord, and effectually, Lord, upon each and every heart and upon each and every soul. And, O Lord, help us, Lord, as Your people to look to ourselves. Help us, Lord, to be on our guard, to be on our watch day by day. May we get our eyes off this world and the things of time and sense. May our eyes be firmly fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, upon His word and upon His truth. How we thank that Thy way is a good way, a way of pleasantness, a way of peace, a way of blessing. O Lord, keep us in that way day by day, that Thou would have us to go, Lord, as Thy people, that we might live to the praise and to the glory of our Savior. Should there be any with us today not seeing? Out of Christ, without God, without hope, and without Christ. Lord, speak to them today. May they look by faith to Christ and be saved this day for the glory and for the honor of Jesus Christ. Lord, bless us as we wait around the table of the Lord. Bless those that cannot stay. Give them journeying mercies. Keep Your hand upon each one for good throughout this day. Remember Thy servant as he would preach Thy word in this house tonight. Pour out Your Spirit and save souls, and bring glory, Lord, to our Savior. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for Thy glory. Amen.